KPFA, as those of you that have paid attention to the budget, does have a issue around cost reduction, and they are going to bring forth a cost reduction plan. For this year, they have taken some of their funds from savings. They did have 2 months cash in the bank at the beginning of the fiscal, and they're using that to tide them over this fiscal, but they are going to, for next fiscal, produce a cost reduction plan. They're also looking at DAD, that's digital audio delivery, and that was being explained to me this afternoon as well. It's called DAD, D-A-D, and I think it is a way of automating upload and download of specific shows to satellite, to internet, to wherever you need to deliver digital information. Cost is $45,000. And that matters where you have, at least I'm told, shows like Democracy Now! And other shows that you want to make sure make that time slot to the second. And apparently DAD gets that job done. Also this morning, I'm told that KPFA was off the air.
Last night?
Last night, yeah. You know the story?
We've had problems with our power supply in the station. The station was built 14 years ago, and I guess we're at the point where we have so many monitors, which use up a lot of energy. We don't have many flat-screen monitors. We have the larger monitors, as well as just a higher number of workstations than we've ever had. So it's been causing our breaker to trip, and we thought we had isolated the problem, and they've moved a few circuit breakers or fuses around in the circuit room, but evidently it hasn't quite been solved, so we're going to have to figure out ways to either cut down our supply or to purchase a larger supply. So, or augment our supply system.
Well, that concludes our presentation now. But before I go, though, I'd like to just say a few words about our executive director. I work with Dan. I guess as close as anyone. Maybe some of you have known him longer, but I have known him closer, at least in the last couple of years or so. And I'd like to say that Dan Hoglan has been a gift, at least from my perspective, to this network over the last 2 years, and truly has embodied and managed to deal with all the contradictions in the network, yet not himself become part of factions or embitterments. And I think that is an achievement. I hope to emulate that if I'm here. And I think that that is always appropriate, and always what we all can and should do is to acknowledge the contributions of people, whether we agree with them or not. Always. And so I say this gentleman here I thank you, sir.
I think we have, some of us have questions.
I have questions.
Yeah. When do we leave?
Should we just set a time then to adjourn?
We have Audit Committee, Programming Committee, reports to do. Are you ready? We'll deal with that later. Yes.
Where are we going to ask questions of the presenters?
I'd love to.
Did you want to do that now?
What you have to understand, we 7:30, we're to be at the site prepared for us. It's now 19 minutes to 7, so we'll open the floor for any questions that you might have of the those who have made presentations to us. Donna, LaVarne, William.
And Fatty.
And Bob.
And myself, Fatty.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand.
Okay, I wanted to ask several questions, and I'll do it real quick. Of Lonnie, the CFO, you mentioned that the insurance was so high. I'm wondering if you've done an analysis of the insurance to see exactly how useful it was, I guess. You know, like a schedule to see how much it actually saved us through the year. How much insurance was actually paid out. Because, and we might be too little for this, but I noticed the insurance was like $300,000. With $300,000, and I don't know what the payouts have been, but if it hasn't been that beneficial, maybe we need to get a task force together to look at an alternate way or alternate companies. Dare I say, and this might sound stupid, but self-insurance. I mean, just to go ahead and consider all the options that we have, a task force. Don't answer that. I'm just want to ask the question and maybe get an answer later. The cash in bank is $1.6 million, and I know this is probably one of your favorite topics, but why do we have so much cash in the bank? Could the FDIC only insures $100,000, so I don't know how many accounts we have, but could that excess amount, and it's not excess because we want it, be invested in maybe a higher yield accounts? Okay, and the third question is, what is the cost of the job search for the new ED? I mean, is there a cost associated with that? And if it is, don't you think that, and to the chair too, that we ought to, before we leave New York, start getting the team together to do the job search for the new ED. Okay. Those were my questions to Lonnie. To Don Rojas, has the new general manager been hired? And why don't you, I think, Dan Coughlin, are you moving to New York? You might have an applicant. I think that's all my questions. Thank you.
Lonnie?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be brief. I think insurance, I would welcome looking at insurance. We have had actually an independent insurance agent analyze.
We can't hear your mic.
Hey, my mic's not on. Is this better? On the question on insurance, that we have is expensive. What we have done is we've found cheaper medical insurance and saved $100,000 that way. That's one way we've tried to offset costs. But liability insurance is the high cost. Workers' comp, California, the highest workers' comp market in the nation, as you probably know, California. Can't save much money on workers' comp. Tried, and it's the big one too. Have been trying to save on liability. On putting our money in a higher yield, yes. That 1.6 million is about that 1.5 I've talked about. That's that 1 month. They need it. They're going to use it. It's really operating. It's not extra. But you know, the FDIC point is well taken. Is well taken. That is to say, if the banks are insuring at 100,000, maybe what we need to do is make sure that we don't get caught with more than 100,000. Love to do that. Maybe working with not only the audit committee, but I have suggested an investment committee be formed by this board in order to save money in those areas. We do need an investment committee before there's not enough money to invest. We need to look to the scarce resources that we do have. The final question was on the ED cost. I can't give you a definitive number, but I do believe that the cost for the search of an ED, including flying candidates to meetings, if we assume that cost, if there are moving expenses with a final candidate, could be $4,000 or $5,000. could be that much. Flying members around to go to interview sites, right? If assuming that people have to come from different states. I'm hearing seven, but some of you that may have had the experience before know better. But my estimate is somewhere between $5,000 and $7,000. Is it budgeted?
Per applicant?
That's one of the ones that'll be for next year, presumably. But it could be $5,000 to $7,000, would be my rough guess.
Is that per applicant?
No, that's for the total process.
$5,000 to $7,000 for the entire
search? Yeah, depending on how many people are chosen to interview. If you do 10, costs go up. If you do 4, you know, how many you invite would be a factor.
Okay. LaVarne? Can't hear you.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. I would like to thank everyone for their reports. They were very good. They were very informing. And I just have a few questions. One is with KPFT. Thank you for the report, Dwayne. And just have a question. I guess this is for Ursula too. I don't have the sheet to show the affiliates in Texas, like from along the corridor from Austin to Houston. But I know with KPFA, we have the arrangement with Fresno, with KFCF. And I was just wondering, is there some type of arrangement perhaps that could be done with either stations like in Austin or along that corridor that perhaps would be beneficial to both KPFT and those affiliates or college stations in that area?
We have an affiliate in College Station, which is the home of Texas A&M University, it's 90 miles northwest of Houston and about 70 miles east of Austin. There is no affiliate anywhere else in Texas. There's no affiliate. Gallup, New Mexico is the next closest place. There's an affiliate. Gallup, New Mexico is closer to San Diego than it is to Houston. And there are none in Louisiana that I'm aware of either. So we have our repeater station in Galveston at 89.5 FM. We have license applications pending for repeater stations in Huntsville and in Livingston, the home of Death Row. And we're hoping that those will manifest this year. We get people in Austin and Dallas and other areas asking to get a Pacifica station or to get Democracy Now somehow into those markets. There is is it Co-op Radio in Austin or a K? In Austin does carry DN, but they're not a Pacifica affiliate. That's one of those anomalies. Yeah. So yeah, that's the answer.
Thank you. The other question, I guess, on also Ursula was talking about the Bush radio, and I know I'd spoken some with Otis McKay about other diasporic communities, both, I guess, in the United States, and if there was some type of relationship that you're working together in terms of communities outside of the country and also the diasporic communities in the United States. And then I have a question for Don Rojas also. And that is the question you had said that that you plan to leave. And I certainly appreciate all the work that you've done for WBAI. And you had said you were leaving, though, but there was something about signing a contract within 90 days. So just wanted to know, what is the status on that? Is there some type of transition in terms of where the contract is and what's happening there?
Thank you, Ms. Williams, for your kind remarks. The contract I was referring to is the AFTRA union contract, which is now in its final stages of negotiation. I'm hopeful that we can wrap up the negotiations by the end of next week with the objective of signing the contract before I leave on April the 15th. That's the timetable. I'm hopeful we can we can operate on and execute what's necessary. If that doesn't happen, of course, then the responsibility of finalizing the contract will fall to whomever succeeds me, working closely with the CFO and the ED.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question. Could you? I mean, are we doing outreach outside of the country? Yeah, that's a very interesting topic. That's probably going to be the next campaign or whatever you want to call it, kind of effort. And that's we've made tentative inroads in with that. We've spoken with AROS, which is the Indian network. It's a different set of situations. It's a different way of operating, and so we're proceeding slowly. We did get a request from Winona LaDuke to help her build a station up in Minnesota, very close to Red Lake, which is a very interesting project. There's several. We have one affiliate in Hoopa, California, which belongs to a reservation. There's a reservation station in Wisconsin, which probably WOGB, I think, which probably is working on it. But it's a different set of situations, and we're feeling our way through it very carefully. But yeah, we would definitely like to explore that next and do it. And yes, the international scene, we'd love it. It's, you know, trying to figure out how to do it. It was great that Bush contacted us, and they said they would like to, you know, help us spread the word in Africa. So yeah, we'll see.
William Fadi.
I have a number of different things, so I'm going to just try to quickly run through them. Thanks for the report. It was a really good report, and it's sad to see the brain drain at Pacifica, but I feel like ever since I stepped into this organization, people have been leaving, and it's great to work.
Maybe that's why.
It's great to work with you all, and I'll miss you all, but I end up seeing you all in the movement anyway, so I look forward to crossing paths with you again, and sorry to see you go. That's to Dan, to Don, and to whoever's next. KU Satellite is something I didn't hear in the report, and I'm a bit worried because only two of the stations mentioned high-definition radio at all, one being KPFA, and I know that it's a priority for us because we are the station that operates the KU Satellite. The technology for the satellite is to the point where it won't function anymore. It's not guaranteed to be reliable after, I believe, 10 years. I'm not an expert on this. There's probably someone in the audience that knows better than me, might even own the plans to the KU satellite. That's great. But our issue is that the DAD system is how KPFA plans to communicate with the public radio satellite distribution system, PRSS. And my question is this prioritized for other stations? And if not, when the KU satellite stops running, how do other stations plan to carry Democracy Now! And Counterspin and all the other shows that we send out on the KU satellite? And it's troubling to me that it's not prioritized. And if it's something that National doesn't have capacity for right now, it's something that needs to be discussed at the technology committee. And if that's the case, we need to be told that so that we can do it. Outreach came up in a number of the reports we just heard, and I think that's great. One thing that I didn't hear is promotion, which I think is very important, and we're a membership organization, and outreach is important, and pulling people in is important, but there are millions of people that listen to radio that aren't going to come to a meeting because most radio stations don't have meetings. They have bumper stickers, so I hope that there's a way that we can look at folding promotion into our outreach plans and understand that no matter how many people are on the outreach committee, if we're not talking about mass distribution of information in relation to what we do on our air, that no one's going to listen other than the people who pay into the system, and they're great, but we need to be able to reach the masses if we're talking about being a movement with radio. Editorial freedom is something that needs to be thought about when we're talking about organizational affiliates. If we've got groups like the ACLU and La Raza and you know, Asian Law Caucus, et cetera, joining as organizations, we just have to remember that when we're reporting, that we're going to have to figure out how to incorporate that. And it's going to be sad that if all of our news stories in one night happen to just be about all of the organizational affiliates we have. So I just hope that we have a plan so that people don't think that we're colluding our editorial departments with our membership planning. National news package. I think that it's a great idea. I'm glad that other stations are signing up to do it, but how are we folding it into FSRN, and how are we folding it into the number of independent producers that could fold into that package? And I think that you guys are thinking about that, but just if we can remember to let folks know that we are talking about a multi-layered approach to building a Pacifica News division. Moving stations seems like a really big item, and I'm really afraid that if we're moving two stations in the next 3 to 9 months, it sounds like, no, one? Just PFW. Okay, so BII is still working out a strategy. Okay. Well, I'm still scared for PFW, but I'm not as scared for the whole network now. We can handle one station. And interim positions, I think we really, like, I hear that the headcount plan and counting FTEs, but I really think we need to figure out how we can move beyond the interim position processes that we have. I think that we do need to have the flexibility for managers to be able to have short-term assignments, but we need to figure out how we can look at the different tasks and the different functions we do at each of the stations so that we can better ascertain what functions are interim. Like, a program director position shouldn't be so interim. And I know that we haven't had a PD at KPFA for at least 6 years.
Are you asking questions?
Yeah. I'm pointing out stuff because
the presenters?
I don't think that these are things that they can answer right now. If they can,
we have a session tomorrow. That'd
be great. Oh, okay. I thought we were asking questions of the presenters.
Well, there were 7 questions in there. I can reiterate them, but I'd
like to ask one question.
I'm pretty much done, but I just wanted to point those things out as things that I'm thinking about. I don't expect answers in 5 minutes. I don't think that those are quality answers, but I think that we need to point out issues with reports when they're given so that we can give criticism for things that are being presented to us. These are things that I'm thinking about, and I hope they're thinking about them too.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I just need 10 more seconds. I think we need a plan for interim positions so that people don't think we're doing nepotist stuff. We're not doing nepotist stuff is what I just heard, but I think that if we think a little bit more about how we do interim positions, we won't have to deal with that type of criticism. Thank you.
Bobby?
Thank you. I think William's comments are very important. Fadi Saba from KPFA. I have a couple of questions, and before I'll first start off with something that Lonnie forgot to mention, but just told me, and that is the ADA compliance cost will be approximately, at the very minimum, $250,000 at the 5 stations. So I think that's correct, right? Yeah, okay. So just so because I know that was asked and that was brought up earlier. I have a question. Earlier today we talked about, it was brought up with regards to the WBAI GM hiring committee composition. And that is 3-3-3, three paid, three unpaid, and three listener reps. And since I just found out from Don Rojas that negotiations are, like, towards their tail end, and since that seems to be somewhat contradictory to the bylaws or something of that nature, is that being addressed? The 3-3-3 composition, I'm just wondering, is this being addressed, this issue?
You're not talking about the after negotiations.
Yes, I am speaking of the after negotions.
GM search committee, how
I mean, it's being negotiated right now. This is the time to obviously address this issue.
Huh?
composition of the GM search committee more LS, more union reps than LSB?
Because according to the chair of the LSB, the WBAI LSB, according to the contract, the current contract, it stipulates 3 paid staff representatives, 3 unpaid staff representatives, and 3 LSB representatives on the GM search committee composition, hiring committee. That's what why we're dealing with deals with AFTRA, because obviously AFTRA is a union. It's mm-hmm. part of that, so union contract. So since it's being negotiated at the moment, my question is this on the negotiating table?
No, it's not.
And why not?
Well, they
I could give them a mic.
Give them a mic.
This is not on the negotiating table. It is not part of the package that the union has put on the table.
Good God.
All right, and management is responding to what the union's list of demands have been, and we have responded pretty much to everyone of their demands. As I said, we are still in the process of negotiations, but the union has not put forward a change to that clause that's currently in the existing contract.
Can I make a correction on that? It's not a clause in the AFTRA contract. It's a clause in the unpaid staff organizing committee contract.
Okay, well, I wasn't That's sure correct. Which contract. I just know that I forgot your name. Kilgore, I believe, right, Ms. Kilgore?
Vajra.
You did mention, okay, I do recall, however, a union contract, and so it was a clause. And so I was just trying to follow up on what she had mentioned earlier today with the commentaries I heard from the manager. So, you know, I think it's something responsible for us to look into, and I would encourage you to do so. I think it's important.
Let me just say to the director.
The general manager is not involved in the search process for an interim person.
I understand.
It is not in our purview. It is not in my purview.
I understand, and I don't want to belabor this, and this is not going to affect the current search, okay, for a general manager. I believe for future purposes is what we're looking at. We have to look in the long term here.
Patty, Ray, Wendy, and Mark.
This is Patty Heffley, WBAI New York Director. I would like to speak also. Thank you, Fatty, for bringing that up. On October 25th, 2004, at a teleconference meeting, the following was passed regarding union agreements and the bylaws. Resolved that neither Pacifica nor any Pacifica radio station shall enter into any contract or collective bargaining agreement that does any of the following. 1. Attempts to interfere with or restrict the right or ability of the local station boards to screen and select a pool of candidates from which the general manager and program director shall be hired. Article, bylaws Article 7, Section 3B and 3E. Or attempts to interfere with or restrict the right or ability of the local station board to conduct written evaluations of the general manager and program director, which was interfered with last year by these contracts. Number 3 is not relevant so much. Number 4, attempts to restrict the ability or right of the board of directors or local station board to carry out their duties and responsibilities under the bylaws as the board of directors deems fit and proper. And so I'm the RLSB last year made two motions, one recommending that the general manager not hire anyone permanently, that he will not be there for the complete probationary period, and that was rescinded by the current LSB. The other was we recommended that any union contracts be passed by the LSB and the PNB before signing. Since the GM was outgoing, the current LSB rescinded that motion as well. I'm very concerned that an outgoing manager is going to sign union contracts that are going to hold us.
Is there a question for anything?
Yes, I actually, well, I think it's important to bring this out. Also, it was the AFTRA union that voted not to have five members of the local station board on this general manager search subcommittee. It was not USOC that made that decision. So let's be clear. So what I want to know is, Don Rojas, do you intend to sign union contracts that violate the motions passed on October 25th, 2004, and the bylaws that are in place at this moment? That's my question.
Mr. Chair, this is an appropriate question. That's about how many there are.
I do not intend to sign any contract that is illegal.
That's a silly question.
That is not my intention as outgoing general manager. Before signing any contract with any union, clearly this will be taken up with the station's legal counsel, and I will be guided by the advice of legal counsel. But I have no intention of signing any illegal document.
Ray?
Thank you.
I guess it looks like the BI delegates don't have to ask too many questions. This is being handled for us by other delegates, other directors. Actually, I have a question for Director Ron Pinchback. I'm concerned about some of I heard you statement in dealing with those issues. I'm still concerned that in a position of power, sometimes one does not quite see the one that claims to be a victim. And I realize that behind some of those issues, our understanding of how the decision should work. I mean, if you look at our news department, FSRN, if we had had our way, we would have forced them to integrate into Pacifica. Because they were out of Pacifica, they chose a different model. And I think we actually do richer for it. And also, I think in terms of inclusion, there are other communities that are saying that they don't feel that they're included enough. And so I'm asking you, without being patronizing, without pretending to know, assuming from experience that when those things are raised in such a fashion that there is some substance to it, and to recognize the dignity and give them a seat and sit down with them, which I'm assuming you're doing, but obviously something is still not, this is not enough. And come to the bottom of this. Now, Dennis back. I'd like to say that it's been a privilege working with you and with Don Rojas. And I think as you guys are gone, we'll realize how much difficult it is to fill your shoes. I appreciate your intelligence, your commitment to the cause that we've been fighting for, your ability to acquire information that's new and be willing to share it with us. And I won't be long, but I wish you good luck, and I'm sure our paths will cross again.
Okay, to respond to that, one of the reasons, or one of the goals, when we set forth in embarking on our news development, our news department, the headlines package, and so on, was to include and make those opportunities available for anyone. It's certainly not based on race or nationality or color or gender. We've got over 250 volunteers there that are engaged in everything at the station. Yep. We have Latin programmers. We have Africans and Caribbean folks, whites, Jews, gays. You know, those people are there and are functioning and have functioned successfully at WPFW for years. So that's not the issue. Quite frankly, at times I'm not sure what the issue is, because those opportunities do exist. When we look at building that news department, we were looking to utilize the skills of the people that were trained to come in and participate in that process. There's no litmus test. All you have to do is just be willing to participate. You know, that's it. You know, there are no bars, no mountains they have to climb, or anything like that. So that's been, you know, my approach to this. That's exactly why, you know, we formed this news department, because we do want to open new opportunities for anyone from our community that wants to participate in that process. So there's no, like I said, there's no one saying, there's not one person in that station saying, hey, you cannot participate because you are a member of this organization, or you are a member of this race, or you are a member of this enclave. That is not happening. Now, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. Did you have any messages?
Wendy?
Oh, Lord.
Just for the record on the BAI thing, I'd just like to say I think it's weird that unions would be choosing station management, but I'm not talking about that. I have an announcement to make that after years and years of people around the network and in Houston, Texas, asking for our most popular program, Democracy Now!, to be put on at a time when more people could hear it, morning drive time, that has finally happened. So I just wanted to ask Dwayne, after all of the time that we put into, or that people put into trying to do that, and some employees even sticking their necks way out to do that, why that change happened right now on the day that one of those employees was leaving the radio station?
Huh? Well,
have a conversation.
The timing of putting Democracy Now! On at 7 involves a lot of things. And I'm not going to talk about personnel issues, but I'll talk about the fact that 4 weeks before last Tuesday night, Amy Goodman called me up and said, I'm going to come to town. Do you want to do an event? I will also talk about the fact that our February fund drive tanked somewhat, and our mornings performed worse than they have in several years, and it seemed like a pretty darn good thing to try about 2 weeks or so before Amy came to town to put it on and just give it a test, see what happened. That's what we did. I think it's working out.
Mark, Bob, and now Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of quick comments, and I do want to echo what Ron Pinchback had to say with respect to WPFW, because a lot of times when I hear come to these meetings, you would assume that, you know, it's just a sort of African-American party and nobody else can come, and of course we're not like that at all. And in fact, of all our LSB officers, only one is African-American, the other three are white. Now, I don't know if that means anything either. It's just we deal with the people that we have, and we look for the best in the people who come. So this notion that we're excluding people based on ethnicity is just not the station that I know. I will say, however, that one of the problems that happened, which we'll probably will grapple with, is that a lot of times, like at PFW, when we decided we wanted to move forward and have a real news department, and, you know, actually put some resources there, that once you put those resources on the table or begin to say, okay, you're going to do something differently, then, you know, that's both opportunity and a threat to the individuals around. And so we all have to be careful about how we couch that so that opportunity becomes the operative word in that threat. And that will be the challenge facing us here on the board as we now have this significant opening about to occur in our executive director, to which end I would like to say to the administrative council, it's always a pleasure to see you. I understand that, you know, I've never been a general manager of a radio station, and many of my colleagues here have not. You wouldn't know it, but we haven't. And so we do rely a lot on your expertise, and you're an integral part of what we do, and I appreciate your effort in that regard, and we will be obviously leaning on you to assist us in this very interesting and challenging time for Pacifica. So I thank you for what you do and will be doing to help us in that regard. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bob, then Dave.
Well, first, I'm sorry Dan Coughlin left the room, because I just really wanted to pay tribute to his leadership and his incredible dedication, not only since he's been executive director, but he's one of a large force of people that helped us bring back the network from the corporatists who had seized control of it in the 90s. So for all of that, I really thank him. And also Don Rojas for his dedication and his hard work over the last 2 years. It's really been a pleasure working with both of you. So thank you for that. I just wanted to follow up a little bit on the questions to Ron Pinchback about WPFW, because I am concerned. I've been to the last three board meetings, the last two of them as a member of this board, and seen members of the DC Radio Co-op, who we all hear on Free Speech Radio News several times a week producing high-quality journalism, who have come at their own expense to these meetings to express their frustration at what they perceive as a great difficulty in having full access to participation in the station. And I know there's been that you, Ron, have engaged in dialogue with them. But I want to ask you two questions. One is, I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the LSB passed a resolution recently to have a grievance procedure instituted so that issues such as theirs could be dealt with in a fair manner, and I want to know where that process stands. And secondly, you made reference to that there's no problem with access, but I understand there was a meeting recently with you in which there were complaints made that it's a very large collective in the scores of people who are regular producers, news reporters, that they have not all gotten access privileges, and I want to know who makes those decisions, how that process works, how it's determined whether someone's a legitimate producer who has right to get an access card to the station.
That's a very easy answer for me. If you are producing for WPFW, you have access to the station, period. Okay? It doesn't matter whether you belong to a group or not. All right? That's not an issue for us. If you are volunteering your time to produce something on behalf of WPFW, and I want every one of you guys to understand this, you have access. Now, you're right. There is the co-op is a large group of people, okay? The problem we were having is that, you know, we have a core group of programmers, music programmers, public affairs people, and so on and so forth, who don't know all of these folks, all right? So they don't know whether to let this person in when they buzz in at downstairs or not. There's only one way to eliminate that problem, and that's to provide identifications for anyone that needs access to the station. They don't have to. The only question being asked is, are you producing something for WPFW? Period. Are you writing a story? Are you editing a story? Are you reporting a story? That's all. Are you creating a feature? Are you assisting someone with a feature? That's it. You know, and if they need access, if anyone needs access to the station who's producing for WPF, any volunteer, and this right extends to everyone universally, not just to members of the co-op or not to any particular group at all. If you are producing material for WPFW, you have access to the station. The question comes in, and this is, like I said, the only way we're going to eliminate this problem is to provide identification cards for people who need access to the station. So when they come downstairs at 10 o'clock at night and the programmer is up there in the booth by himself or by herself, they feel secure in letting this person in because they have a WPFW identification card. And to me, that's the best way to solve the problem. And no one's trying to deny anybody access, okay? And that's the bottom line. If you were producing something for WPFW, you would have access. So I don't know what this access issue is. No one's going to have carte blanche access 24 hours a day, all right? We have security issues. We are in Washington, D.C., okay? We make a lot of noise, all right? We don't know everybody, all right? So when you have a group of people, of any group of people, whether it's one person or 20, if the programmers that have to let you in don't know you, then they're taking a risk by letting you in. They don't know what you're there for. They don't know who you're there to see or what you're there to do. So all we're trying to do is put some guidelines and procedures in place so that people won't be denied access because people don't know, all right? And at the same time, provide opportunity. Now, I also want to say this, because this is a recent story, but it's very important to understand, you know, the dichotomy here. Now, we're talking about I had an earlier question about lack of opportunity from WPFW.
Why don't you deal with the grievance procedure now?
The grievance procedure, yeah, the grievance procedure is being worked out with the LSB, LSB committees and with staff, okay? Because we do need that. That's obvious. All right? I support that. It was one of my recommendations when I applied for the job as general manager. Because it's been thrust upon me, because we don't have an HR person, that I adjudicate all these issues. And that's not appropriate. It's not fair. It's not fair to those involved. It's not fair to me, because it puts me in the middle of a lot of things that I shouldn't be in the middle of. So, grievance procedure is in order and supported by WPFW.
Thank you.
Dave?
Yeah, I don't want to name any names, and it's not meant to call anybody out. We were told on a recent call that one station's audience was up, the Arbitrons were up from 190,000 to 194,000. And I pointed out that there's no difference between those numbers at the resolution of that measurement. There's no difference, and if you'd gone from 190,000 to 186,000, you didn't go down either. There's no difference in that measurement. I would like to request that we please, when we're using those numbers, because everybody's so attuned to, are we up, are we down, am I doing good, am I doing bad, that people please think about and report the resolution of the measurement. In science, you can have things that are, two things that are very different, but if they're not statistically significantly different, they're not different. And we shouldn't be making judgments either positive or negative on that basis. I know everybody does it. It's just a request to everybody to please, and if you must say it's up or down, report it as a percentage, because 4,000 as a percentage of nearly 200,000 is less than, I can't even do the math there. It's much less than 2%. Oh, is it? Yes, no, it's 2%. And, you know, report it that way if you must give a number. But I would really like to request that people use numbers in ways that are communicative rather than the opposite of that. Thanks.
Mike?
I just want to tell the general managers that I just want to thank you all, and Don, I respect you and thank you for the work that you've done for the 2.5 years. And at a conference call that we had with National Finance, we had kind of agreed that we should continue to work in a collaborative fashion through National Finance, and I want to make sure we continue to do that, and that invitation to have joint meetings is going to stand as open, and hopefully we'll do it quarterly. But if there are problems that you identify, you know, from a National Finance standpoint, you know, I respect the collaborative fashion that we worked these last resolutions out, and I look forward to all your leadership and talents in the future, and thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, I move we adjourn.
I second.
I third.
Do we need a vote? Are there objections? No objections.
Yeah.
Until 9 a.m.
Can we just make the announcement about the reception that's going on right now?
Don't forget, we've been invited to a national board welcome party at 7:30. That's about 6 minutes from now. And I want to tell you the schedule.
Yeah, and the tour of the station has been canceled, so you can go directly to the reception.
What? Folks,
can I say something?
Tomorrow's agenda is unfinished business. Then there will be an executive session where we have three items: public participation, and then adjournment.